or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
On favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to enter into an agreement with Kimley Horn and Associates, Inc. on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the Chief Executive Officer to do all other things. We're going.
Second.
On favor, say aye.
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 That it? Okay. All right. We have our regular code of ethics training and review. Parker, are you going to take us through that quickly?
Actually,
or who's doing that?
Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Thank you. Hopefully the sound works okay there.
Yep.
Okay. So we have commissioners here. We also have some of before we get started, a quick reminder to the senior leaders. In addition to the code of ethics, we've got another set of standards that apply to our senior leaders. They're called our standards for employee interaction with interested parties. Because our employees are dealing with, interested parties, contractors, those sorts of things on a more regular basis, additional set of rules that they need to be aware of. But today we're just talking about the code of ethics. I know we do this refresher every year, and some of you have heard about this fairly recently. This is fairly straightforward, but if we can go through the slides here. And there we go. Thank you. Okay. So generally speaking, with respect to the code of ethics, as you can imagine, then we, of course, are all expected to put the public interest above our own interest, and we should do it in a way that never creates the perception that we're somehow doing something for our own interest as opposed to the interest of Port Houston and the public generally. Next slide. Okay, so there's going to be a couple of topics that we're going to hit on. The first main topic that we're going to talk about with respect to this training is avoiding conflicts of interest. And here, in particular, we're focused on conflicts of interest with respect to decision-making decisions that we make. I'm not going to get into the weeds of the details of thresholds and dollar amounts and these things. I'm going to just try to put this into your mind so that if you have an issue that arises, hopefully it'll pop into your head. And then if you've got questions, you can reach out. You can refer to the Code of Ethics itself for some of the details, or you can ask us any more specific questions. But generally speaking, if you as an employee or you as a commissioner notice that we have an agenda item, say, that's coming up or a particular project that we're working on, and one of the counterparties to that is someone that you have some sort of a business interest in, or it may be a piece of real property that you have an interest in, or if you have a family member that has an interest in one of those things, we'll want to look carefully to see whether or not it creates a conflict that we need to be concerned about under our code of ethics. And then if there is a conflict, we're going to ask that you not participate in that decision and then disclose to the chief legal officer the details about that. I know some of you have outside companies that you work with, some of which from time to time may have interaction with the Port Authority. And so that's why we have you periodically do affidavits and those sorts of things. There are some additional disclosures. If the Port Authority is looking to enter into a contract with a company from whom you have received income other than investment income that exceeds $2,500 a year, or if they've given you gifts that are in excess of $100 a year, you're expected to disclose that. Likewise, if you have a family relationship with a company, with someone that works for a company, say, that we're going to enter into a contract with, we need you to disclose that. And then I know that you're probably getting the reminders right now because this is the time of the year that your annual disclosures are also due under Chapter 572. That's just for the port commissioners, not for the staff. Okay. Next one. Okay. Some other warnings with respect to conflict of interest. Obviously, no commissioner or employee should earn any sort of commission or fee on any of the business transactions of us. Of Port Houston. You shouldn't act as a surety on any of the projects that we work on. In general, you know, we don't want anyone investing in any investments that could create a substantial conflict moving forward with companies that perhaps we're going to be in long-term relationships with. No one is supposed to act as a lobbyist on behalf of anything related to Port Houston. And then there's also a provision that commissioners and senior employees aren't supposed to participate at a senior level or have a spouse that participates in a senior level in a maritime trade association that is regulated by Port Houston. This statute was actually put in place, I think, when we were still regulating the pilots. I think that's perhaps what they had in mind. Not sure if there's anything really applicable anymore for this, but just generally, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out about that. Okay. This one is a little bit strange, and this is just a heads up. If any government entity is acquiring real property that you have an interest in through condemnation or otherwise, you need to make a disclosure. You need to file an affidavit in the county in which the property is located and the county of your residence. This one's a little bit strange because it's not just something that Port Houston might be doing, but say if the state of Texas was looking to acquire a piece of your property, you would need to do this disclosure. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out about that one. Okay. Abuse of office. The next few slides are talking about, you know, not using your position here to get some sort of benefit for yourself. So obviously, you know, commissioners aren't supposed to use your status here for any sort of financial gain. You know, you're not supposed to influence government decisions for any sort of personal gain or bring discredit onto Port Houston. Go to the next slide. So first of all, what that means is there's an absolute ban. You know, you should never take any sort of benefit or any sort of financial contribution in exchange for a decision that you're making on behalf of Port Houston. That's an absolute rule, absolutely no exceptions to it. I think that's pretty straightforward. Next slide. Okay. Then there's a more general category of prohibited benefits that starts with a never take these, and then as you think through it, you can think of lots of exceptions to the general rule. So the general rule is, don't accept benefits from anyone who might be interested in Port Houston's actions. Doesn't take long, though, to think of some exceptions to why that doesn't always make sense. So, for example, if something's prescribed by law that you're just entitled to by law, or if something you pay a fair price for, obviously you can accept a benefit in exchange for that. If you have a relationship outside of your role with Port Houston, say your spouse works for a company that may be interested in Port Houston business and your spouse wants to give you a Christmas gift, obviously that's okay. Certain political contributions are okay as long as they're in line with Title 15 of the Election Code. Now this part, and again, we talked about the standards earlier. This exception right here is for the commissioners. There's more detail for staff. That may say that we can't always accept non-cash benefits, but for the commissioners, if it's a non-cash benefit, you know, not a gift card, not cash, but something tangible that's less than $50, that's okay. And then certain transportation, food, and lodging, if that's properly disclosed, that you received it in connection with Port Houston business. Okay.
Next slide.
Honoraria. There's not a magic to if you go to a conference and someone wants to give you a $500 something as an honoraria. There's no automatic thing that says it's okay for you to accept that. But you can accept when you're going travel, lodging, meals, if you're going to make a presentation, for example, at a conference or something like that. Okay, nepotism. Just so you are aware, we have a policy here at Port Houston. We do not hire any relatives of any port commissioner here at Port Houston. And then when it comes to staff, obviously no employee should be involved in any hiring decisions, any sort of promotional decisions, any really employment related decisions with respect to their own relatives. And obviously there also shouldn't be any trading. You know, I can't go to Paulo and say, I'll hire your niece if you hire my niece. Like, we can't do anything like that. There are some limited exceptions, such as an exception for a personal attendant if there's a situation where someone would need that. Outside employment is permitted in limited circumstances, but there's sort of a chain of approval. I won't get into all the details of it right here. We can see in the policy. Generally speaking, the executive director has to have the Port Commission approve any outside employment, and then there's various levels of approval that are needed for staff members. Former commissioners and employees, there's some rules for what you can and can't do after you leave Port Houston. In particular, for commissioners and the executive director, in the 2 years after you leave the organization, you are not supposed to appear on behalf of someone else, you know, trying to communicate with the Port Houston board, for example, with the intent to influence. Former commissioners and employees also aren't supposed to participate in matters that they worked on here that were in their, you know, area of responsibility, like particular projects. So, for instance, if we had a project manager in our construction group that was working on something, a very specific project, and then they went to work for somewhere else on that same project, we wouldn't be allowing that. And then the commission has to approve certain contracts with former employees. You may notice from time to time that there are matters that wouldn't necessarily normally go to the Port Commission that are on the agenda. And that's sometimes because we have former employees that are working with new, firms, that are on those matters. Okay. We're getting close to the end. Misuse of public property. You know, this goes to a little bit of what we were talking about before. Obviously, you shouldn't use any Port Houston property for any reason other than the reason that it was given to you for port business. And then also you shouldn't use proprietary information, for example, for investment decisions or any of those sorts of things for personal gain. Reporting retaliation, discrimination. If anyone has any concerns, obviously we have obligations to raise any concerns if we believe that there's any unlawful discrimination, harassment, or retaliation. And then we as Port Houston have an obligation to promptly investigate those matters. Okay. Penalties for violations. If you look at the Code of Ethics, you will see in the Code of Ethics there are certain references to the Penal Code. So there are things that if they are egregious enough, they could lead to criminal actions. But generally speaking, sort of at the administrative side of things, if someone violates these, a commissioner could be subject to a reprimand or removal. For employees, it could be reprimand, suspension, or termination. And if there are contractors that are participating in violations of the Code of Ethics, they may be excluded from future business or terminated. And that's it. Any questions?
When in doubt, don't do it.
Exactly. All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Okay. There's no other business for this meeting. So we're next meeting, next Port Commission meeting is on May 21st, 2026. And this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you. We are now going to start up the audit committee. And commissioners, you're not on the audit committee. You're welcome to stay.